5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Happy weekend. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia with you here on our program on this Saturday and Sunday, whenever you're watching. Hopefully, you guys are off to a good weekend for sure. We got a lot to get to here on this show. Coming up a little bit later with The Last Dance coming up on Sunday night, we're going to bring in somebody who has experience authenticating the signed items by Michael Jordan. So those of you who have an item signed by Michael Jordan, you're thinking about purchasing one, this may be a really interesting interview to catch. That's coming up in just a little bit. But Joe, let's start off with just kind of a recap of the week, of the weekend, and I think that for a lot of us here, we're still, you know, kind of waiting for sports to come back. I know the UFC is going on, of course. I know here where I live in Florida, they're opening back up where I live. They made the announcement on Friday, a week from Monday. So at least there's some positivity going on, I would say, this weekend.
I would agree. My favorite Chinese food place. It's been 2 months. I've told you this. 2 months. It finally reopened this weekend. Yesterday, I finally got the dumpling fix. So that's clearly a step in the right direction. I know Major League Baseball, too. There's a lot of rumors flying around. A lot of people saying no, but more people saying yes, that this proposal is going out there to the players' union sooner than later. And, I mean, if we don't have optimism, Craig, what do we have at this point? So let's stay positive, let's stay optimistic, and let's hope that we're moving slowly in the proper direction. And I want to emphasize slowly, because it is still early May. If we get sports back by July 4th, I think that's quite a long ways away, but enough time to do things the right way. And let's hope that we are moving in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I would take July 4th right now if that was the case.
100%.
That means a lot more fantasy sports birthdays for us to deliver for you over the next
week. We're just the people to do that, though.
If that is the case, that's what we will do. Well, Thursday night, some of the interesting information now we've had a day or two to digest, and the NFL certainly does a good job with any kind of information that they roll out, and they rolled out their schedule on Thursday night. So, of course, the first thing that I looked at is when the Raiders are going to open up their season, and it's week two against the Saints. So that's the date that I'm going to tentatively circle for now, with the possibility of making my way to Vegas to see the first ever Las Vegas Raiders game. I don't know that I'll have my chance, but that certainly piqued my interest a little bit. The Buccaneers playing in primetime piqued my interest, and, of course, locally here, the Dolphins. They got themselves basically a matchup with Burrow and one night game, and then not much else to be really excited about. But, of course, there's a lot of different takeaways from seeing the schedule? And you know, it's not always the sexiest talk in the world, but what did you get out of seeing all that? What were the things that piqued your interest?
Well, I mean, the fun thing that happens every year is all the fantasy analyst nerds start picking it apart and thinking about all the strengths of schedule for certain running backs and things of that nature. And yeah, you know, there's a couple, you know, year over year holdover defenses that are very good. And, you know, Baltimore is still going to be a very good team. So, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously, probably the 49ers. I say probably because that hangover has been a real thing and I know nobody wants to think about it. But I mean, last time the 49ers were in a Super Bowl and lost in a heartbreaking fashion, everybody thought they had the quarterback of the future and everything was going great and they had a great defense. It feels eerily similar to me. So I just want to put the stop on that a lot. So what happens now in the fantasy community is now everyone's going to look and try to overanalyze a little bit too much. Don't let this affect how you draft players. Continue to draft the guys you think are going to be the best backs. Don't get too hung up, or the best wide receivers or quarterbacks for that matter. Getting too hung up on the schedule or the strength of a certain guy's schedule, I think that's something you save for later in the draft when you look. And if you really do believe there is a soft schedule for a potential running back or backs in a committee, then that's something you can maybe pick apart for September in the later in drafts or something like that. You can't look into November and December and think that any NFL team is going to be the same that you think it is in May or June. Also, the strength of the schedule, too, according to, you know, the weight of winning percentages, Indianapolis and Tennessee have the tougher roads than anybody. And it's fascinating because Tennessee was kind of the darling last year. Indianapolis kind of got stuck in a terrible situation, losing Luck right before the season. And it just doesn't seem fair for Cinderella and the team that really kind of ran out of luck to really end up getting the schedule kind of twisted into them a little bit. So I think it's a little unfair from that standpoint.
Yeah. What do you make of the opening night game Thursday night, Kansas City against, is it Houston?
Yes. Kansas City, Houston. I mean, was there a more entertaining playoff game this year?
Yeah, sir, I mean, that's, we could start there. I mean,
yeah. And let's also remember too, the opening Monday night game this past season with the Saints against the Texans, how fantastically entertaining that game was. I want to say that was the earlier of the two. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? That was the early Monday night game. And I remember, yeah, I came in then on Tuesday with you to do the radio show. I was like, oh man, I love the two Monday night games. It's the greatest thing. How great was that first game? I was like watching the game, having dinner with the kids. It was great. They, you know, the Texans hopefully will get off to a good start, but man, it's really difficult to think that's going to happen. I used this analogy on a show earlier today, and I'm going to use it here. I feel like the Houston Texans are kind of like my favorite Christmas comedy, which is Christmas Vacation. You remember when Cousin Eddie in Christmas Vacation is emptying his chemical toilet into the sewer? I feel like that's pretty much Bill O'Brien. He's emptying everything into the sewer, and the first ring of a whistle is pretty much going to be the uncle lighting his stogie and then everything just getting set on fire. I'm pretty sure that's the analogy we're looking for with the Texans in 2020.
It could be. I'm not a big fan of them, but look, they got me last year, so maybe they'll get me.
They did, but I don't know, man. That's no DeAndre Hopkins. And look, I still think Watson will be okay because I think he's a great quarterback. He'll find a way.
Yeah, he's too good to stop. You just can't stop that guy.
Yeah, I would take any discount you get on Watson this year, and I think you're going to get one. Man, I think you should take every opportunity to have it, especially in Superflex. But when you take away a weapon like DeAndre Hopkins and then you, dare I say, downgrade the running back position? I mean, Lamar Miller to Carlos Hyde to David Johnson, who looks done. I don't know, man.
What do I know? Thanksgiving, always a fun trio of games. We've got Houston taking on Detroit. So Houston's getting a lot of the weird games this year. Washington taking on Dallas. And then if I'm not mistaken, it's again Baltimore and Pittsburgh on Thanksgiving night.
I believe you're right. I do. That's going to be, you know, the primetime one seems to be the real hot game. Last year, that Buffalo-Dallas game was pretty good. The Washington-Dallas game seems like that's going to be the perfect game to be eating dinner for. I mean, so right in the middle, I think we all know what that game is going to be. The Redskins are not going to be a good football team this year, no matter how hard you want to sell me on Ron Rivera turning things around quickly. And it could be that quick, that's for sure. How about you? Was there one game that or
– there's one game on the schedule for me, yeah.
What's the one? What is it?
Chiefs-Saints.
Yeah, that's mine too.
I mean, Chiefs-Saints is going to be – what is the total going to be in that game? I mean, provided that things are normal.
Well, wait, is it in New Orleans? I can't remember.
In New Orleans, yeah.
It is. The total is going to be 65.
Probably a little higher.
You think it's going to be higher than that?
Probably a little higher. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's going to be a good time.
That's a big one, I think.
Yeah. I think whenever the schedule comes out, it's fun to kind of circle the things.
Week three, we're going to get the game that we were looking forward to last year. It didn't really work out, but Chiefs-Ravens, too, week three. I guess it's just Chiefs versus whoever.
It's like the new Patriots. Like, Pats versus Steelers or, Pats versus Baltimore. You know, that was always fun. You always want to see the best quarterback in the league, and it's Mahomes still. I mean, Lamar Jackson's entertaining, but Mahomes is the marquee guy. I know the one thing I hate is whenever I get stuck with the Jets and Patriots on like a Monday night. And I think they have a Monday night game they play, because that's a game I would normally get on a Sunday. I don't want it to take up the Monday. That's always annoying, but whatever. It is what it is. But yeah, I don't understand the starting off with the Texans on Thanksgiving. That's always a weird one too. I think most people disagree with me, but I'm okay with changing the tradition of the teams that play. Are you, or do you think it should always be Detroit? It should always be Dallas?
I think that the fans would tell you they want their tradition. So yeah, I think
so. It's too important to the fan bases at this point.
Yeah, I wouldn't eliminate it. If they like it and the ownership likes it and it's a part of what they want, then
if you're a Lions fan, doesn't it just ruin your Thanksgiving every year?
I think they're used to it. I think they've come to just accept it. And no, I don't think so at all. I mean, that game's over at 3:30. They're home by 6 and it's dinner time.
Yeah, I guess so. That's fair. That's a fair point.
And listen, maybe I'm sure that there are some wives that really enjoy going too, but maybe for that one day, I mean, tradition does sort of speak to, maybe it's the wife is cooking at that particular day on that time and the food is ready when everybody gets home. I mean, maybe it's a possibility.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, I mean, NFL schedule is always fun. Fodder, when you talk about the teams on the opposite end of the spectrum, the New York Jets, New York Giants, and Atlanta apparently right now have the determined of the best opportunities here with scheduling. And I think the Atlanta one is the most intriguing, because if you're talking about Atlanta, man, that might be an opportunity here where, they could actually turn things around. They had such a strong finish. I'm getting more and more fascinated by the day in the 1-year contract of Todd Gurley. Where is this going to go from here? I mean, this is kind of his make or break year for his career.
I don't know.
I'm not saying, well, look, it's a lot cheaper than last year, and I did it, and he was RB14. Maybe I'll do it again in the third round, and he'll end up RB12. Who knows? I'll push the envelope, Craig Nish.
Don't do it. He's finished. The Jets play the Dolphins twice, and they have a bye week in between. How did that happen?
Yeah, I saw that. Our illustrious
twice in a row.
I saw tweeted that. That's weird. Is that ever happened in your recollection? Because I don't remember that happening.
I don't remember two teams playing against each other in consecutive weeks ever in the NFL. I think it happened 50 years ago, they said.
Yeah, I mean, that is very bizarre. But I guess that'll be a fascinating thing from a wagering standpoint. Whatever happens in the first game, we always talk about, well, teams see each other twice, but when did teams see each other back-to-back weeks? I think it's happened in the playoffs once or twice in recent memory, where teams finished with each other and then to play each other in the playoffs. I want to say that happened in the last 10 years. Yeah, I don't remember which the circumstance was, but that is definitely a strange anomaly of the NFL schedule.
Yeah, and we'll look forward to it. And I think that everyone will look forward to seeing Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform. But I got to tell you, that is probably the most compelling part of the season, because the NFL is betting very big on Brady and the Buccaneers this year by putting them on primetime. I believe it's 4 or 5 times. So if they are not good, it's going to be big trouble.
Well, I mean, that's their here's money. The only thing I have, which is, what's the deal with the running game there? And Ronald Jones has not filled the shoes that he was supposed to. I don't know if Keyshawn Vaughn is going to be that guy. He seems like, from a lot of scouts, saying these Ronald Jones 2.0. That's not very encouraging. And the last thing you want to do is throw out some running back that can't be out there in pass protection to protect Brady. And the last 4 years or so, you've had a lot of running backs out there supporting the Tom Brady offense. Tom Brady's not exactly throwing the ball downfield all the time. So maybe that's by design, or maybe it's them babying the 42-year-old quarterback. I don't know. I'm rooting for Tom because I love Tom Brady. He's my guy. But if it was not as exciting as everybody thought it would be going in, that would not be shocking. Would it be shocking to you?
I mean, they're betting so big on it happening. I'm going to have to.
Well, what are you betting on? Are you betting on them being able to just throw the ball as much as they want? That's disappointing.
David Ortiz is a fair bet on the old guy. Nelson Cruz is another. In sports, you don't bet on the old guy. The old guy is going to fail you eventually. And I don't know if it'll be this year, but it's going to happen.
Oh, you think two guys that all they did was hit.
It'll happen with everybody. It'll happen with Brady, too. Two old guys are taking a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Happy weekend to you. It's time for This Day in Fantasy Sports and Fantasy Sports Birthdays for the Weekend. So we're going to cover you for Saturday, for Sunday, tell you what happened this weekend in sports in the past. And as I always like to say, Joe, the month of April of 2020 will always be a month where we will never dive back into the past in terms of sports. And I'm hoping May will be, but we're not trending in that direction either. So we got to go back to the past to get our sports.
It's okay. There's nothing wrong with venturing back a little bit. Again, I feel like this is two guys at a bar talking sports, and that's what this show is. And you know what? That's not bad right now, especially since you can't go to a bar. So get a cocktail. I know it's noon somewhere. And go ahead and watch a little FST.
All right, so here we go. We'll start off with this day in fantasy sports history for May the 9th, and not a lot. But here's the first thing. Eddie Murray is the first player in the history of baseball to hit switch-hit home runs back-to-back days. And I've always found switch-hitting so fascinating, Joe. Like, to me, this is the art that almost is completely going away in baseball. You had Mickey Mantle. You had Eddie Murray. I guess baseball, still has a few guys that can do it now. Francisco Lindor is the one that comes to mind as potentially being, maybe the best switch hitter now. But hitting a home run from the left and right side in the same game, I know a lot of players have done it. Ruben Sierra is another one who did it as well. But just the ability to hit righty and lefty is just incredible to me.
It's just not something you see. The specialization of baseball, if you do one thing well, just do it that way. It was a huge deal. I remember in the 80s, the switch hitters, there was a lot of switch hitters because guys wanted to stay in the lineup. that was kind of the sneaky thing about that. But we just talked about it earlier this week, too, when we were discussing Chipper Jones. We were talking about the Atlanta Stadium, Turner Field, another great switch hitter there. And I remember having this Eddie Murray baseball card. I want to say 1988 Tops. It was like the reverse negative kind of thing of Eddie Murray from both sides swinging in the middle of the card and the back kind of connected of this a historic event, obviously, in 87. So certainly something that was very cool, something you don't see very often. Eddie Murray, not exactly Mr. Personality when it came in front of the cameras. Not exactly.
Only on his birthday. It's the only time you can get it.
That's right. Not the warm and fuzzy. Not so much Eddie Murray, but man, one of the great hitters that you had ever seen. Him and Cal Ripken and those Orioles teams in the 80s were about as good of a 1-2 punch as you'll get. And I kind of miss switch hitting. I kind of miss a lot of things from 80s and 90s baseball that don't exist anymore. Station to station is not as fun as far as I'm concerned. But this Eddie Murray moment, too, I mean, that is something you do not see all the time. And I want to say 500 career home runs for Eddie Murray as well, correct? So part of that club, pretty impressive. Yeah.
1999, this is a day that will live forever in college baseball. I remember this. Marshall McDougal, who played for Florida State, hit 6 home runs in one game most ever in college baseball history. I remember at the time thinking, wow, this guy is going to be a star in the major leagues. And I think he got drafted relatively high, if I'm not mistaken, maybe the third round, fourth round, fifth round, something like that. But wow, what an incredible day. I mean, he'll always have this, Joe. It's like, you know, he didn't really amount to much in the majors. I think it was on the Indians. But hey, six home runs in one game. That'll never be done again.
I've never even heard of this moment or this guy.
Wow.
It was, in all fairness, this was my junior into senior year of college. So that could be why. There's a lot of things I might not remember from then, but in all fairness, this is pretty cool. Like, I'm just learning about it now.
They scored like 19 runs or 20 runs or something insane number.
They broke all kinds of records. Don't you just walk him after the fifth one and be like, let's not go.
He was out the first time he got up.
Huh. Yeah, really?
Six home runs after that.
So you're 6-for-7 with six dingers. Not a bad day.
No. Unfortunately, we got to end on a little somber note. Chuck Daly passed away at the age of 78. You have the picture there of Chuck Daly, of course, also with the Olympic team as well. So he passed away on this day. Yeah. All right. Fantasy sports birthdays for May the 9th, 2020. Also, we start with a somber note. Tony Gwynn, who was one of the best ever, passed away a few years ago. He was born in 1960. It is also the birthday of Steve Yzerman, all-time great hockey player. People forget, Joe, how good Brandon Webb was for a few years. He had that unfortunate shoulder injury, but he was a Cy Young Award winner and also a runner-up in the Cy Young Award winner as well.
Yeah, Brandon Webb had some fantastic seasons. That sinker was just – when that sinker was on, man, it was devastating. He was just getting out after out. And he was a guy that used to go deep into games. I had him a lot in a lot of fantasy leagues, and I can tell you, man, there were a lot of complete game bonuses for those Brandon Webb years, and I remember that window pretty damn well. And unfortunately, like you said, the longevity of the career was not there.
Oh.
But, man, he did have a window there when he was in that elite discussion of pitchers in Major League Baseball. And in fantasy, he was like that perfect guy. If you don't want to pay top price, you can get him as an ace kind of and just roll the rest of the season. He had some ace-like moments for sure.
Yeah, I remember we saw Brandon Webb in Disney World one time.
Ah, not working, right? He wasn't like – he was just there.
Yes.
He wasn't playing
turkey legs out. No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if he was, you know, playing Goofy or something. I don't know. I got to ask.
No, he was not working. He was just there. Okay. My wife was like, how in the world do you know that was Brandon Webb? Who is Brandon Webb?
Well, he had that chin fuzz.
That's what I do.
Did he have the chin fuzz thing at the time? Because that was.
No, I don't really remember. We took a picture. I have to find it.
Because I was going to say, that was one of the things about him, too. I remember he had the look of the no mustache, no beard, just this thing. I don't know what that's called. Because I know they had the soul patch as this. He just had this thing.
Oh,
I don't know if there's a name for it, but you should check the picture.
Prince Fielder, born in 1984. What a great career he had, cut short by a bad back injury, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And then Robbie Anderson's birthday, 1993. I'm not really sure what to make of Robbie Anderson going into this year. I thought that it was really, you know, the smartest move for him to stay with the Jets, but yeah, he didn't choose that.
No, well, I mean,
didn't he say he was going to stay with the Jets too?
He did, but I mean, I don't know who wants to stay with Adam Gase. I mean, it doesn't seem like anybody's happy there. Roster's not very good. I mean, you go to Carolina, better weather, that's for sure. Maybe a better chance at some more wins, I'm not sure. But Prince Fielder, for me, one of those must-see guys, too, whenever they would, like, click in on an at-bat. Because you always knew, you know, there was that opportunity for him to go yard. But you love the big boys, man. You know, I love a couple weeks ago on Diamond Bets, we did our Mr. Burns-inspired softball teams that we picked. And he was my first baseman because I want to watch and see how far that guy could hit a softball because I'm sure it's pretty far. And Milwaukee and Miller Park, certainly a really good park for him and the way he hit too. So Prince Fielder, not as good, obviously, in the later years with Detroit. But man, oh, man, those couple years with him and Ryan Braun. Again, we go back to those duos, right? Braun and Fielder, Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken. I love the duos in baseball. I'd like to see more of that.
In fact, Ricky Weeks was supposed to be like the trio.
Oh, yeah. Never quite happened. You see, oh, man, there's a guy I haven't thought of in a long time, my friend. Yeah. Ricky Weeks. Look at that.
All right. Fantasy sports history. We now move to May the 10th, which is Sunday, 1970. Bobby Orr, one of the most talked about goals of all time in NHL history, in overtime, leads Boston to their Stanley Cup title. And so this is an iconic picture, an iconic goal that everyone still talks about to this day. Funny that we talked about the Expos yesterday and Charlie Lee. Well, go figure. Back on May 10th of 1981, Charlie Lee threw a no-hitter and was the first born person from France, player from France, to ever throw a no-hitter. I didn't know that until I looked
at me. I'm learning so many things. They got a French guy throwing, and in Montreal. Well, that must have been great, because they actually speak French to the Quebecois.
He probably did.
Oh,
I don't know. I'd have to look into it a little further. Bill Walton inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame in 1993, and then this was really hard to believe, that Steph Curry was named the first unanimous NBA MVP. You're telling me Michael Jordan was not the unanimous MVP five times, four times, six times, Kobe Bryant? I mean, how is this even possible?
Well, wasn't Tom Brady the first unanimous one in the NFL, too, and that wasn't that long ago.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I mean, it makes it kind of difficult, and I don't know. Like, I understand Michael Jordan... I guess the argument you can make is, he played with Scottie Pippen, who was always a very good player and all-star there. And there were some other years where other players had incredible years, were carrying teams on their own. I get that. But it would be interesting to go back. Maybe this is an exercise for next week or something, and go back at those Michael Jordan MVP years and see who were the runner-ups, and if you could really make any case for voting for anybody but Michael Jordan. And maybe they were just sick of Michael Jordan at a certain point. I guess that happens too. But I don't know, man. First unanimous, that seems kind of crazy in the NBA, especially.
I couldn't believe it, but.
NFL is a little bit more understandable, but the NBA. Really? No Michael Jordan?
They've had the biggest star of some of all time. All right, let's go to the fantasy sports birthdays as we close it out. For May the 10th, we got Pat Summerall right at the top. Former NFL player, of course, former broadcaster with John Madden. In the days when those two guys did games, it was just a huge occasion on a Sunday. And now, of course, we get to watch all of the games. I don't think we'll ever have an iconic broadcaster or a team like that again in the NFL. Monday night's been a disaster for the most part. Sunday night is pretty good, but let's be honest. We all can watch all the games now. It isn't the same as Sunday getting one game at 1 and Sunday getting one game at 4, and you always knew it was Madden and Summerall at 4. Those days are long gone. 1942, Jim Calhoun, former great coach at UConn, national championship coach as well. 1965, we've got Ronnie Cicely, former member of the Miami Heat, and a big part of the early part of their franchise, without a doubt. And then in 1990, Salvador Perez was born from the Kansas City Royals. And Brett wanted me to mention Ronnie Cicely went to Syracuse, so there you go. but Salvador Perez, that's a player that is very, well, was, I don't know if he is anymore, but he was kind of intriguing at the catcher position for the fantasy purposes, because we really don't know. We missed a whole year. And you're going through a lot of rankings. It's like nobody really had him in the top 5 or top 6. But the reality is that if he plays like he's played in the past, he's like a top 3 guy. But he'll be an interesting name this year to see. I don't know how he'll do.
Well, he's probably a good value at the very least in a lot of drafts. He was kind of drafted in the middle of or the upper mid-tier of the catcher lot because of that 1 year off. But at the same time, I think you know what you're getting with Sal Perez. You're probably going to get 20 to 25 home runs. You're going to get a lower batting average, probably 240 or something like that. And historically, he had been somebody incredibly durable. So, he did get hurt. He missed an entire season. That's not great. But when it comes to Sal Perez, I think you look at it and you say, hey, I'd rather take a shot on him than some of the other catchers that, barely will play anyway or hit me 20 to 25 home runs. And Sal Perez is worth it. And I miss Pat Summerall. I miss John Madden. I miss that duo together. There was something very special about them. So different. I think that's what made them so special, right? Because you had Pat Summerall with these 2nd and 2 and just kind of doing exactly what it was supposed to, just calling the game. And then there was John Madden being crazy lunatic John Madden. And that duo, that pairing was just so entertaining and so complimentary to each other.
Yep, it certainly was. All right, so those are our fantasy sports birthdays. And this day in fantasy sports, we will be back again, of course, on Monday as we continue to do this throughout. Coming up next year on the show, we're going to be joined by Jimmy Spence from JSA Authentication, as a lot of people are clamoring for Michael Jordan, anything they can get their hands on at this point, autographs, basketball cards. But you got to have some caution when you're doing this, because apparently there are a lot of forgeries, a lot of fake stuff out there. So we're going to kind of dive in to what is real and what is not coming up next with Jimmy Spence. And then later on in the show, we will bring back Ray Albright, who was on the program on Friday, to give us a little bit of a preview as to what we can expect with the upcoming, what we think this week or next week may be a truncated Major League Baseball season and fantasy season as well. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia. We'll take a quick time out, but we will be back with a whole lot more as we continue this ride on the weekend of Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish back with you here, of course, on the show coming up on Sunday night as we get closer to the crescendo of The Last Dance. Of course, it's been featured Michael Jordan. And as you would expect, because this is the only thing on television for a lot of us to watch, a lot of people are trying to get their hands on autographs and cards of Michael Jordan. So I thought, who better to talk to about that before you make that decision, or potentially maybe you have a Michael Jordan signed piece of memorabilia. If you do, this is the time for sure to go find it, make sure you protect it, and potentially even get it authenticated. And to join us and talk about that, of course, is James Spence, my friend Jimbo. We've known each other for a long time. He's taken care of me with my memorabilia way back in the day when I wanted to protect my stuff. And he joins us now to talk about all of the different memorabilia that is currently out there that is real, that is amazing, and also some of the pitfalls as it could pertain to buying something that is signed by Michael Jordan. Jimmy, thank you for coming on the show. What's going on?
Thank you, Craig. Not too much. The traveling has gone down tremendously, but we're getting hammered with a lot of mail-in submissions. So we're seeing how strong our industry is. I guess, you know, where people are isolated, they look for comfort, and what better to find than collecting autographs and buying autographs on eBay. And so our industry has stayed pretty strong throughout this whole mess.
Yeah. And the thing is that because a company like yourself at JSA is basically the premier company and, you know, figuring out what's real and what's not, as you mentioned, I mean, you're probably seeing some really unique, amazing things, because for those people who probably don't know, you know, Michael Jordan didn't like go to autograph signings and like go at shows and sign autographs. He was like a very difficult autograph to obtain. So I'm guessing, Jimmy, when you're seeing this stuff coming in, it's a little bit challenging because it's worth a lot, and it's worth a lot of money to these people too. And so they're trusting you with this stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, Jordan, the only sit-down signings he's ever had were through Upper Deck, you know, maybe a few through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He was very, very selective in where he would sign autographs, who he would sign autographs for. The only public place that he routinely signed autographs was in Tahoe at a golf tournament once a year, and he would sign hundreds of autographs there. But that really caught on with the whole chasing community throughout the entire country, throughout the world, and people used to take advantage of that. So, you know, years ago, Tahoe limited the amount of pieces that you could actually bring into the tournament. So they were preventing, you know, people bringing in jerseys and basketballs like they used to in the late 90s, early 2000s. So Jordan is very, very exclusive, as everybody realizes after watching this documentary. So his autograph is heavily forged. I want to say 95% of Jordan autographs that are submitted through JSA fail our authentication process.
Wow. 95%.
95% without exaggeration, Craig.
Wow. That's That's very sad for somebody who thinks they have a Michael Jordan autograph and they actually don't. They have it, you know, maybe through somebody that he knows. I've heard that stories about that too, where, you know, basically somebody would give stuff and it would be somebody else that would sign the autograph for him. That's, it's just, it's wild to think that that really exists. But let's focus on the positive here. I want to take a look at a couple of items that you have seen come through your company. Now, again, these are just from random people in the United States or all over the world. They're sending something to you, and you have to determine at JSA if it is legit or not. So let's start off potentially, Jimmy, with one of the items that we're going to look at here that is legitimate, that is a good item. Pick any of the ones, and we'll put it up.
Cool. Yep. So the Michael Jordan basketball that you see right here, Jordan is very when he signs for free, he'll usually write extra. So he'll write, you know, best wishes, or he'll write, you know, to somebody. He'll try and personalize it for that person. But his most popular inscription is the best wishes. And that's what you see here, Craig. This is on a Spalding. This is just a red and black basketball. Obviously, the Chicago Bulls theme. It's signed in the perfect pen, too. Whoever got this signature knew what pen to use. I mean, you don't want to use a black fiber tip marker on a black background. That's not going to come out nice. But a silver, this came out beautifully. And this is just your slam dunk Michael Jordan. There's, you know, the characteristics of this particular autograph are spot on. Again, I didn't see this thing get signed in person. So, you know, we have to look to our exemplars to determine the authenticity of Michael Jordan's signature. And with 95% of them failing, and the forgeries are exceptional out there. So even if, you know, somebody proclaims to be the Michael Jordan guru expert, you still need to properly get something like this authenticated by a reputable company. There are very, very sophisticated forgeries out there. So this one's a prime example. It's got great flow to it, baseline. It's got conviction throughout, and it's beautifully signed. So something like this, you're looking at approximate value of anywhere from $3,000 to $4,000, just because of where it's placed and how bold the signature is.
Okay. And let's take a look at another one here. I know that there's one that, ironically, with Last Dance being on, has the whole team. I believe it's like at a Gold's Gym, and it looks like, you know, there's a little bit of a difference, I think, Jimmy, in the two different autographs that we saw here. It looks like this one's like an older one.
Yes. So this particular piece was signed in 1991. We know that because of all the names on this piece of paper at Gold's Gym. So I'm not sure of the background on this particular piece, but you can kind of put all the information that you see together and you can determine that it is a 91-92 NBA champion Chicago Bulls team sign sheet, and all of the signatures are period signed. Period signed means that based on the characteristics of each signature, they signed it during that time and not well after in some kind of reunion convention or anything like that. So that when stuff is period signed, it's very, very desirable for collectors, especially Jordan collectors that want to have a piece of his signature from when he was on top of the world. He still is on top of the world.
Apparently now again, with no sports, he's the guy that we're watching. All right. Give me one pick out of the group here that you have. I know you got a lot, but pick one more that you think will be good to show everyone.
We might as well go with the Jordan rookie card. That's getting a ton of press right now, Craig. It's rare enough to find a Jordan rookie card that's a nice grade. They're going for a crazy amount of money right now.
$20,000, $30,000, $50,000, crazy.
One sold yesterday, I believe, for $96,000. That was graded a 10. So my forte is autographs. The unsigned stuff is not very appealing to me because my focus is straight signatures. But what we have here is a signed, genuine Michael Jordan rookie card, 86-87 Fleer. The signature too is an older signature. It doesn't date to 86-87, but I can tell you it was signed in the early 90s based on the formation of the signature. this is just a very rare find that we see. Most of the people that obtain Jordan rookie cards immediately try to get them graded, and they don't, you know, if they have the opportunity to meet Michael Jordan, they're likely not going to get a trading card signed. So this is something special. In my opinion, it's a wonderful investment if you ever find a real one. Something like this, I wouldn't be surprised if it sells for about $30,000, just based on, you know, the condition of the autograph and the fact that it's on a real rookie card.
Wow. But before we get to the ones that are not real, because I think that people are probably more curious, honestly, about that, you mentioned the word exemplar. For people who don't know, you know, I kind of have a little familiarity. An exemplar is basically you guys have a database of what is legitimate. But with a player like Michael Jordan, with him not doing any signings, are these simply coming from Upper Deck and some of these vintage ones that you've seen? Because without having a sit-down signing, where does that get basically accomplished?
So we acquire exemplars. We work with all the major auction houses, and some of these auction houses have access like no other. They give us notarized documents, Michael Jordan's American Express card where he signed the back, stuff that's just irrefutably authentic. And we compile everything we see into our exemplar file. And Michael Jordan, for instance, we have well over 4,000 different Michael Jordan signatures now. Not all of them are authentic. We also keep the forgeries on file too, because we try to pinpoint exactly, you know, what style forgery is this. So it takes a reputable card grading company to determine the authenticity of just the card. So what you have here is not only a fake card, but somebody decided to get greedy and sign the card and try to emulate his signature. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is, Craig, this stuff gets sold on eBay. We've been in touch with eBay, and you know, they're doing their best to clean it up. But it's the sheer volume of the stuff that's being uploaded and being sold for, you know, buy it now or, you know, one day listings. It's very, very difficult to police eBay and the amount of forgeries out there. So, it sucks, but this stuff gets sold on a daily basis, especially right now when he's hot and emotions are flying, that everybody needs a piece of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, they do. And as we close out here, what you can see right now as we're leaving are a few other forgeries from Michael Jordan. So those of you who are watching the show, we'll just give you a quick view right now here of some other pictures that Jimmy and his company have deemed to not pass JSA authentication. By the way, for anyone who has a Michael Jordan item and you're wondering, is it real, is it fake, these are the guys to talk to. Just go over to SpenceLOA.com, check them out. Jimmy, of course, is on Twitter. You see his Twitter handle under his name as well. And reach out directly to Jimmy. He's been taking care of me for many, many years, has taught me a lot about this industry. Great talking to you as always, Jimmy. We'll look forward to catching up again very soon. Stay safe with you and your family. And I hope to see you in person soon as well. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
All right, Jimmy Spence from JSA, SpenceLOA.com. That is the website. We'll be back with more here on the weekend edition of Fantasy Sports Today, right after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Gray Albright for this segment here on the show. You know Gray, of course, from Razzball and Razzball.com as we close in on what looks like it could be a 2020 baseball season. Potentially, we will know the answers to that, I believe, next week. I think that we're going to get some good clarity on that. But before that, you know, Gray, it's really interesting. I mean, the news of the week seems to be this insect that's murdering other insects. You know, I feel like that's probably a bigger story than anything else.
Yeah.
I know. Now we're in the we're into what is the I forget how many plagues are there again? We're
seven?
Into like the
ten?
Yeah, so we're into like the third plague now. I forget where the murder hornets lands on the plague scale, but we're there. We're into
You're murder all over hornet. The murder hornet. You're a big fan.
I am. I actually, you know, I went to school with the murder hornet.
Really?
Yeah, I had a good friend who was a murder hornet back in high school, and we parted ways, but I'm glad to see he's doing well. It's like catching up on Facebook with an old friend. Hey, look at murder hornets.
Yeah,
I don't like flies, to be honest. So murder hornets are not my cup of tea. But I did see the news. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling when this is all over, there's going to be something else to scare us, you know? Like, I don't think this is going to be so clean.
That's what I know. Like, we thought the coronavirus was the worst things could get, and then they came out with giant bugs that were carrying knives.
Yeah, it's interesting, for sure. So what has the last week been for you? Any new reading? Any new movies? Let's catch up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this past week, I watched The China Syndrome and I watched Silkwood. I had like, it was a little
That was
like,
a great one. I remember that.
Yeah. It was a, we did a, because I had never seen them. So I was like, you know, and I've actually seen a lot of movies, to be quite frank. I hadn't seen those. So I was like, let's go. Let's watch these old school jammy jams. So I liked, I actually liked China Syndrome a little bit better. It held up a little bit better. Silkwood was okay. It was kind of like, you know, it felt like it was just a character piece from like the early 80s about an activist in the 70s. So it was like a period piece already at the time. And then they were showing something that was, 10 years earlier. And it kind of was just like, it was okay. I mean, it was fine. I mean, Meryl Streep's great, obviously. Kurt Russell was good in it. Cher was in it. Who doesn't love Cher?
She's good. She was good. I feel like Cher, didn't she have like her retirement tour? And like, didn't she's coming back again or something?
Yeah, you know, Cher was a crush of mine back in the 80s. I loved Cher. That might explain how I'm into older women, huh? I gotta talk to my shrink about this. Remember like the turn back the clock, Cher?
Turn back time?
Oh, yeah, turn back time when she's
on the boat, she's on the ship dancing around with her boyfriend. Remember that? I remember that.
Oh, my God, it was so foxy.
Do you remember that guy, who he was?
I mean, Cher on a naval ship dancing around in like a
thong. She was she wore a thong before it was cool.
I mean, my God, I could still think about turning back time, if you know what I mean.
Hands off, Gray. listen. The guy that she was dating, I think that she met him in like a bagel store or something like that. The story. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yes, like I want to say like Rob, right?
It could have been. I mean, I don't remember the guy's name, but I remember he like either worked at a bagel place or something. They just like ended up hooking up and.
Yeah, I remember his name because I was wishing murder hornets on him.
Well, you were ahead of your time. On him and Marquez and Herman Marquez, you were ahead of your time.
I know, right? Herman Marquez is gonna be interesting in Arizona. Don't sleep on him.
Yeah, you know the interesting thing is that with kind of turning over to the baseball discussion, at least what I've heard in the last 24 hours is even though they are playing potentially in their home ballparks, that realignment I think is real. I think that we could be headed toward that.
Yeah, well, that was the I feel like I've asked you this before, but why is it that we're doing a realignment just because they're going to be playing in only Arizona? Is that what they're saying?
No, they just are going to limit travel, basically, from east to west coast. It, honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, they're still going to have to fly.
Right.
The Yankees are going to have to fly to Miami, and Miami's going to have to fly to New York. Like, and the Mets and the Phillies and the Rays. I mean, they're going to make a schedule, I guess, that's going to limit it. I suppose if you think about it, if the Yankees are in the same division with the Marlins and the Rays, they and play each other, you know, eight times, they go into Florida for a week and then take a bus. So, I mean, that's part of, I guess, what they're thinking is. But I heard that that is real. And a couple of players who I've talked to seem to think that there is going to be a designated hitter, the universal designated hitter.
That's another one where I'm like, what? I don't know. I mean, I guess if they're going to do, like, say Toronto is in the same division as Miami.
That's right.
If you're going to do that, I guess you got to do a universal DH, because otherwise it's like, what, when we're in Miami, we're playing with just pitchers hitting. And then,
well, they do interleague, but this would be permanent. So
No, I'm saying probably this way. And the rosters will probably be expanded. So
yes.
Otherwise, it's so hard to figure out, like, universal DH. It's like, you're trying to make a situation better for the for baseball to come back, and then you're adding the universal DH. It's so confusing.
Well, immediately 15 players will have more value than they had a month ago or 2 months ago. I mean, that's for sure, because the NL is going to have an extra hitter. And then if they expand the rosters, I think you go from 15 players being more valuable to maybe 25 or 30, maybe even more, because that means that instead of a 25 or 26 man roster, you're going to have extra guys there.
Right.
So, I mean, look, it's still all very preliminary, but at least from my understanding of what's being discussed or what's being posed is that they want to play in the home parks because they do want to have fans there again. Now, maybe not in July, but maybe in August or September as
that's
a possibility.
The whole thing. Right. Yeah. I think, it's going to be in the stadiums because they're going to want to bring fans back at some point. So if the pandemic allows it, they're going to be able to bring, if they're able to bring people back in September, they're not going to be like, well, now we're going to go back home because we can bring fans back. So they're going to, that makes sense that they want to play in their home parks, because this way, and plus everything is already situated for them to, you know, clubhouses and
makes sense for spring training too. That's why, like, you couldn't have them all in Arizona, because then, you know, they wouldn't have their spring training facility. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, the teams have to be where they're going to be able to be for the entire time. Like, they can't get to middle of August and be like, okay, we're gonna ship everyone back home now. Like, that isn't gonna happen. Wherever they start is where they're finishing. And if they're gonna start in, you know, Arizona and Florida, then they're gonna stay there. Or if they're gonna start in their home parks, which is probably more likely the case, because, like we just said, I mean, they have to be able to accommodate fans if we're able to get to that point, which, you know, who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, what I would speculate, next week we'll have a plan. And I would speculate, not next week, but the week after that, they would be telling the players to report. I think it's getting that close. So. Right.
Yeah. No. I mean, definitely at a certain point, like very soon, they have to decide. They have to. Otherwise, you know, you're going to get into June without a plan, and then you're going to be like, they have to decide. You know, like Trevor Plouffe was saying he was saying some nonsense about, like, they're going to decide on this date and the season's going to start on this date. It's like, well, you know, I mean, you don't have to have connections to anyone or have any sort of like crystal ball to know these things. Like, obviously you have to know by middle of May to start by middle of June to have games begin by beginning of July. Like, that doesn't take some sort of, like, that's not breaking news. I mean,
no. And listen, if he could get the exact date, then I think that would be reporting.
Right.
But just with randomly just throwing darts, I could do the same thing. So could you?
Exactly. I mean, I've been saying for the last month that July 4th is the time, because,
and it seems real. That seems like the realistic time.
Baseball loves to be patriotic. I mean, you expect, like, you know, July 4th. It's like, You know, the president throws out the first pitch at the Nationals game. The season's underway. Away we go. You could see that happening. That doesn't mean I have any sort of, like, insider information. I mean, that just makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Have you left your house at all in the last 2 months?
Yeah, I haven't left this room.
You'd never know. You legitimately have not walked outside.
No, I do. I have a dog, so I walk twice a day.
But, like, have you driven anywhere?
I did. Actually, yesterday, for the first time in about 6 weeks, we took a ride. It was a little bit depressing because I expected the roads to be totally empty and no one to be around. But I was like, I saw all these people. And I'm like, wait a minute. Was I the only one quarantined?
All right, and that will do it for this edition of Fantasy Sports Today, our weekend edition. Thanks to everybody watching all week long. For Gray Albright, my co-host Joe Pizzapia, I'm Craig Mish. We'll talk to you again on Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.